Father, we are grateful this today for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege we have of praying together. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God again. Grant that this particular portion of the Word that many men seem to be able to understand so little and others feel so unimportant will become living and vital to us as we pursue our study. Grant, Lord, we pray that every need of every waiting heart today might be met as we wait upon Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, you will want to open them to the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we are studying together. We have been studying this 11th chapter for a day or two, and we have discovered that it describes for us the appearance of two witnesses during the tribulation period. We looked with you at some Old Testament passages of Scripture, notably the book of Zechariah, in which two witnesses were mentioned in the same symbolic manner as they were mentioned here in Revelation 11. We said those two witnesses were Zerubbabel and Joshua. Now, we do not mean to imply that the witnesses in the tribulation period are Zerubbabel and Joshua. We called your attention to that portion of the word so that you might see that the two witnesses represented by olive trees in the Old Testament were literally witnesses. And so we expect to see literal witnesses here in the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Today, we take up our reading with the third verse of the 11th chapter in order that we might see exactly why these two witnesses have been sent or will be sent to the earth, since we are talking about a time that is yet future. In Revelation chapter 3, we read, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. Now, when we see the word prophesy or prophecy, all too often we jump to the conclusion that it means foretelling future events. It may include that, but it does not mean that exclusively. It is also a word that can be used for our modern-day preaching or exhorting or encouraging people to get right with God. And I believe that that is the meaning of it here. If you will turn to the book of Malachi, that's the last book in the Old Testament, and notice chapter 4, you will find a reference to one of these two witnesses, I believe, if we are permitted to identify one, and what he is actually doing at this particular time. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, we read, Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The great and dreadful day of the Lord, now remember, is the tribulation, with special emphasis upon the last half of it. And here is a promise that God will send Elijah. Now, what will Elijah do? Look at verse 6. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The message of these two witnesses, we believe, is designed to bring about repentance and revival in the midst of the tribulation. If you will go back to Revelation chapter 11 now, you will notice with me a few characteristics which are presented concerning these two witnesses. In verse 3, we find they are clothed in sackcloth, which is the typical clothing of the Old Testament prophets. Then you will notice in verse 5 that they are supernaturally protected until their testimony is finished. For in Revelation 11:5 we read, And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Then you will find in verse 7 that when their testimony is finished, they are killed. So these two verses, put together, remind us that they are supernaturally protected until their testimony is finished. Going back to verse 5, we notice the kind of protection which God grants them. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Now, how does that strike you? Well, it doesn't seem quite logical, does it? We are not at all alarmed by symbols when we see them in the Word of God, but when we are talking about human beings who have all the characteristics delegated to these two human beings, we cannot quite believe that these men would go about spitting out fire at anyone who opposed them. Somehow or other, that just doesn't seem quite logical. So, we begin to search the Scriptures to find out what it could possibly mean. We believe that every symbol in the Book of the Revelation, if it's a symbol, is explained somewhere else in the Word of God. That the Old Testament throws a great deal of light on the New Testament, and particularly on this portion of the Word of God. Will you turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. You will notice that God is saying to Jeremiah, concerning the very thing that we are thinking about now, in relation to these men putting forth fire from their mouths, "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them." I beg to suggest to you today that Revelation 11 is not suggesting that these two witnesses are going about spewing out literal flames of fire, but rather they have the power to pronounce upon their enemies whatever judgment they deem necessary, so that their words become fire from their mouths to destroy the enemies in their midst. Now, this is not at all unusual, because Elijah was able to do this very thing. His enemies were gathered about him one day, remember, in Old Testament times, and he spoke the word, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. I think that this is what is suggested in the portion of the Word of God at which we are looking right at the moment. Now, go back with us to Revelation chapter 11, and notice verse 6. We notice three characteristics of these two witnesses, other than their ability and power to witness for God, who put them on the earth for that very purpose. In Revelation chapter 6, we read, "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy." Now, what are the days of their prophecy? 3.5 years. And what do we read? "They have power to shut up heaven so that it will not rain for 3.5 years. What does that mean? It means literally what it says. From the time that these men begin to prophesy until their death at the end of the tribulation, it does not rain upon the earth. Now, of course, if you are familiar with your Bibles, that brings to mind another incident recorded in the Bible along this same line. Elijah did this very same thing, you recall. It is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 17. How long did Elijah shut up the heavens? For 3.5 years, that it would not rain upon the earth. Now, the second thing that is suggested that they are able to do is that they have power over the waters to turn them into blood. This, too, is not too unusual. We remember Moses doing that very thing by the power of the rod that he held in his hand. You will notice also in verse 6, the third thing that they are able to do is to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. They can bring down plagues upon the earth whenever they deem it necessary. Now let us not think for a moment that they are selfish individuals, that they want to tantalize and torment the human race, and that they bring plagues upon the human race just for the sake of doing it. Remember, they are doing this to vindicate the testimony which God has given to them to present upon the earth. Now, we've said to you that we are not told just who these two individuals are. Our curiosity is such that we find ourselves wanting to know. And we would like to have some idea, wouldn't we? We cannot blame people for trying to find out exactly who they are, though I would not be dogmatic in any suggestion that one might make. because it is an interesting thing, and shall we say, a normal thing, to want to know just who these folk are, I'm going to suggest that the next time we meet together round our radios, we'll make an attempt to learn from the Word of God just who these folk might be. And I think it will be interesting and perhaps profitable.